It's a delight to be here this morning. It's a refreshing thing to open the Word of God together. And I invite you to do that right now. If you have your Bible with you, open to Philippians chapter 1. This passage is about joy, but I want to start by talking about happiness. Happiness is dependent upon happenings. If the happenings are good, then happiness is good. But sometimes the happenings are not good, or at least they're not perceived as being good. There's one dear lady who had a grumpy husband. Well, maybe there are more than one dear lady, but one dear lady had a grumpy husband, and she thought, today I'm going to do everything I can to please him. Whatever it is, I'm going to please him, make every effort. So at breakfast, she said, what would you like this morning for breakfast? And he said, eggs. Well, how would you like those eggs prepared? He said, one fried and one scrambled. Okay, so she fried one and she scrambled one. She brought it and presented it to him. He said, humph. And she said, is something wrong? You fried the wrong one. Have you discovered yet that circumstances don't create your spirit? Circumstances reveal your spirit. Circumstances expose your spirit for what it really is. Joy, on the other hand, is not dependent on external circumstances and happenings. Joy is an inner contentment. Joy is an inner satisfaction. And I believe the Word of God is very clear that joy is the result of being in a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 5, he that abides in me and I in him, he will bring forth much fruit. Now, fruit is something that's produced, isn't it? Yeah, you go into the grocery store, what section do you go to find fruit? You go to the produce section. Fruit is something that's produced. Jesus says that when we're in a right relationship with him, there's going to be fruit. There's something that's going to be produced in our lives. He also said in verse 11 of John chapter 15, he said, these words have I spoken unto you that your joy might be full. He said that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. The key to joy is having a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, in John chapter 16, verse 14, Jesus made this comment. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. He said, he will glorify me. The whole purpose, the whole aim, the whole ambition of the Spirit of God, who empowers people to do things for God, the whole aim and desire and purpose of the Lord Jesus is to honor and glorify the Lord Jesus. So when you're in a right relationship with Jesus and you want to honor him, you want to glorify him, the Holy Spirit says, I can work with you. I can do stuff with you. That's why Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says the fruit, what the Holy Spirit produces, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, those kind of things. It's what the Spirit of God produces in our lives when we're in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. So joy is not dependent on external things. Joy depends on a right relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, God put an entire book in the Bible to tell us about joy. It's the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the believers in Philippi. It's actually a thank you letter. You see, Paul was in jail again. This time he's in Rome. He's in jail. He's under house arrest for telling people about Jesus. And they put him in jail for that. And the people at Philippi took up a collection. and sent money, and they sent one of their members to help Paul while he was in jail. And Paul wrote this. He didn't have a Hallmark thank you card available to him. So he wrote this short little letter to say thank you. And in this letter, he uses the words, the New Testament words, for joy and rejoicing and rejoice. He uses those words 15 times. So the subject of this book of Philippians is joy. Now, if you want a Cliff Notes, a summary of the book of Philippians, chapter 1 is rejoicing in experiences. That's what we want to talk about this morning. Chapter 2 is rejoicing in humble service. Chapter 3 is reasons to rejoice in the Lord. And then chapter 4 is how to rejoice in the Lord continually. Chapter 3, he says, finally, but he doesn't finish. He says, finally, rejoice in the Lord. And he tells us why we should rejoice in the Lord. In chapter 4, he says, and again I say, rejoice in the Lord always. And so he's talking now about not just rejoicing in the Lord, but rejoicing continuously. How to have a continuous, consistent joy that comes from God. So that's the book of Philippians in a brief summary. Let's take a look at chapter 1 and look at the what God says about rejoicing in experiences. Your notes in your bulletin track through some things, and perhaps you want to follow that. Otherwise, just pay careful attention. Which most of you are doing. Thank you. Thank you. The first thing we want to observe in Philippians chapter 1 is that the person in right relationship with the Lord Jesus can rejoice in memories of the past. Memories of the past. Paul wrote it this way in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now ask yourself a question. What is it that Paul would remember from the time that he was at Philippi? You've read Acts chapter 16 probably, and maybe you recall some of those things that he experienced in Philippi. Well, first of all, he experienced disappointment. He was looking for some men with whom he could share the gospel. So he went to where a synagogue might be. Now, a synagogue required that they have at least 12 men to form a synagogue. But there weren't 12 men in all of Philippi enough to establish a gathering place for people of Old Testament times to worship the Lord. There were, however, some women who met down by the river. And there they went through some of the purification rites and they had a prayer meeting. So Paul was disappointed that he couldn't find men who were willing to stand for God. He also was harassed in Philippi. You remember there was a demon-possessed girl there. And she was a slave to some people who were using her to tell people's fortunes, and they were gaining money from it. And this girl followed Paul, and she said, "These are servants of the Most High God." Well, she was saying the right thing, but who wants to hear the testimony of a demon? And it was interfering with Paul. He was annoyed with this. And this went on for a long period of time. And so he was harassed. He suffered harassment. He also encountered great mistreatment. He did something, cast out the demon from the girl. And the owners lost their trade, so they made accusations against Paul. They had the authorities arrest him. Well, now, when the Romans arrested people, they didn't just take him to jail. They beat him severely. And then they hauled him off to jail. And then they put him in the innermost dungeon. We call it the solitary confinement. But they put him in the innermost dungeon. And there in the innermost dungeon, they put his feet in stocks. They locked him up. Now, why would you lock up a guy who's already in jail and he's in the innermost dungeon? Why would you do that? Well, the jailer thought they really want this guy to stay in, so he secured him very tight. But also it's to humiliate him, I believe. So Paul suffered disappointment, harassment, and mistreatment when he's at Philippi. Now, how on earth could someone thank God for memories of the past like that? Well, it's easy. For a person who's in right relationship with the Lord, you can rejoice in memories of the past because those experiences are simply the beginning of what God is going to finish. Now, some of you aren't looking down at your bulletin. It's right here in your bulletin. It's in the notes. Those are just the beginning of what God is going to finish. You see, Paul said it this way, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's not finished yet. He's not finished. Some of you have been to...
He's hiding behind you.
For anyone listening to the tape or whatever we have of this, we just got corrected with the microphone. All right, thank you, Bert. Yeah, Bill Gothard, you remember at the end of his seminar, he gave out those little buttons, PBP, WM, GIN, WF, WY, whatever. It was a button that stood for, please be patient, God is not finished with me yet. He's still in the process. If you have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, you can rejoice. Now, in Paul's situation, those women became a nucleus of people who supported Paul and Silas in their missionary journeys. That demon-possessed girl was set free, and that jailer got saved. And he invited Paul. He said, come home with me. I want my family to hear about this. And they got saved. And so Paul, looking back, said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you can say that too if you're in right relationship with the Lord. Secondly, a person in right relationship with the Lord can rejoice in circumstances of the present. Memories of the past, circumstances of the present. Because God is using circumstances, even difficult circumstances, for a purpose. He has a purpose, and he's using these for several reasons. Here are several reasons that I note. Number one, he uses difficult circumstances to strengthen you. We all know that exercise, though it is a strain, it produces greater strength for the person who exercises. I like what J.B. Phillips wrote in his paraphrase of the New Testament in James chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. He says this, when all kinds of trials and temptations crowd into your lives, my brothers, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends, because realize that they come to test your faith and to produce in you the quality of endurance. But let the process go on until that endurance is fully developed, and you will find that you have become men of mature character with the right sort of independence. Say, did you happen to read Reef and Paola Daly's newsletter from back in July? They speak something about difficult experiences. They say, looking back on this year, we've seen how God has worked in to help our children to grow in their faith, and in the process to help us grow in ours as well. Just hours before our flight, John went to the emergency room for food poisoning. Faced with the possibility of being unable to go to Chile, Peter prayed fervently for God to heal John. When John got back home, we asked if he was well enough to travel. Responding in the affirmative, we rushed out the door and barely made it to the airport on time to catch our flight. And today we celebrate Paola's birthday with her family in Santiago, Chile. God uses experiences to strengthen you. Now, we left a bulletin. I could say that we did this deliberately because we want to satisfy everybody. There's some people who want to complain, so we've given you something to complain about. We left a... Now, there's not much space between that first bullet line and the second bullet line, but maybe in the margin somewhere you can write in another dot. And then this, that God uses circumstances to expand your opportunities. Paul writes, "The things that have happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel." He says in another place, "I'm bound, but the word of God is not bound." He says, "The things that have happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are made known in all the palace and in all other places." What was happening to him, though it was a difficult circumstance, gave a greater opportunity of sharing the Lord with other people in the palace, and he says, in all other places. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them who are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God." The comfort and the strength, the encouragements that God gives you in your dilemma enables you now to share with other people who may have the same sort of dilemma, but they don't know the Lord. It gives you opportunity, a greater an expansion of your opportunity to share the Lord. Corrie Ten Boom, Johnny Erickson Tada, Dave Reaver, horribly burned in Vietnam. Nick Vujicic, born without arms or legs. All of these have discovered that their difficulties have given them a greater opportunity of sharing the Lord Jesus. And that's what God will do with you also. An interesting note from Nick Vujicic. He had the opportunity of going to Pakistan, but because of the nature of things in that country, he was restricted from going all through the country. So he was restricted to one place. Well, he shared his testimony. He shared the word of the Lord. And some people bought his DVDs. And he says they copied the DVDs. And they sent it to people all over Pakistan. Now, he said they didn't understand that the word copyright on the DVDs... They thought it meant right to copy. So the testimony went out throughout the whole land. Where he couldn't go, the word of God was able to go. But the point is this, that if you're in a right relationship with God, you can be confident that God is going to use your circumstances to expand your opportunities. And he's going to use your circumstances to encourage other people. Paul writes it this way, "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing," that's a King James word, "becoming more bold, more confident to speak the word without fear," are much more bold to speak the word without fear. God's going to encourage other people. Someone's going to say, "If God can work in a guy in that circumstance, maybe he can work in my circumstance." And then the last bullet line, God uses circumstances to clarify priorities. I met a fellow years ago who shared that he and his wife, everything was going well with them. His career was going great. They had a nice home. They were enjoying the affluence of American joys and delights. And then one day, the doctor told them that their 12-year-old daughter had leukemia. And he said everything that was important yesterday were no longer important. Everything was now focused on this. You see, difficult circumstances, trying circumstances, have a way of stripping away the extraneous stuff and helping you to clarify the important stuff, to clarify priorities. Paul wrote, "Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in that I do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." Please don't misunderstand. Please don't misunderstand. Knowing all this, that God is using circumstances for your benefit and for the benefit of others, doesn't necessarily mean that your circumstances are going to be minimized, that your difficult things are going to be made easier. Don't misunderstand that. Sometimes God leaves them in place. But do be aware of this, that you can be content. You can even experience joy knowing this, that God has a purpose in this. And these are not wasted experiences. I heard the testimony of Aunt Heth, who was told by the doctors, "Aunt Heth, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're going blind, and there's nothing we can do about it." And Aunt Heth said, "Well, then I suppose I'll be the happiest person I can be for the Lord Jesus." Amen. She knew how to understand her circumstances. Now, finally, a person in right relationship with the Lord can rejoice in expectations of the future. Memories of the past, circumstances of the present, expectations of the future. Because the worst that the future can bring will only put you closer to the Lord Jesus. Paul said it this way, "I know that this shall turn to my salvation or deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." And then this statement, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said, "I'm in a strait between two. I don't know whether to stay here or to go on." And God said, "Well, sometimes we desire the glorious martyrdom and get it over with and be with the Lord. But sometimes God says, no, I have that longer haul for you to take and stay here. There's a job, there's an assignment I still have for you." But either way, the future holds great expectation, whether it's here or there. I'm going to be with the Lord. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Can you say that? Can you say that I'm confident that He began a good work in me, and I'm confident He's going to finish it? Can you say that God is using my present circumstances not only for my benefit, but for the benefit of others around me and for the ultimate benefit of His glory? Can you say that regardless of what the future holds, I'm going to be with Jesus? Can you say that? You can, if you have a right relationship with Him. If you have not done so before, I invite you right now, make a decision to place your trust in Jesus to be your Savior for eternity. That's what He wants. That's why He died on the cross. He's a substitute in your place and mine because he's a great Savior. He can handle your sins. He can handle my sins. He did it on the cross. And he said, it's finished. He dealt with it. And the invitation is for you to put your hope, your trust, your confidence in him to be your Savior. Just recognize, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and Jesus is the Savior I need. Right now, I claim him to be my Savior. I invite you to do that. You can do that in your heart, right where you sit. I invite you to put your trust in Jesus as Savior. And then I encourage you to engage in a daily way to fellowship with him, to follow him, to let him be your Lord on a daily basis. Experience him. Not only then will you have, you can look forward to being in heaven with him for eternity, but you can enjoy walking with him while you're still on earth today and enjoy it to the max. Now, I'd like to illustrate something, and I've invited a volunteer to come. Can you do this? All right, this is going to be a delicate issue. Now, you might applaud them at this point because they don't know what they're getting into. They don't know if they're going to survive this. We haven't been through this. We have not rehearsed this. If you'll stand facing each other. Now, God has used husband and wife as an illustration of Christ and the church. In Ephesians chapter 5, that's what he says. He talks about wives in relation to the husband and husbands in relationship to the wife. And he said, but this, I'm speaking of Christ. And God is using this as an illustration of Christ's relationship to the to the church. And so whether we're talking about husband and wife here or whether we're talking about your relationship with the Lord Jesus, the illustration fits. I'm a problem. I'm a big problem, okay? And I don't know what you're facing, but as a problem, problems put pressure on us. And what do problems do? Well, they press us closer together if we've got a relationship. You see that? Say yes. Okay, all right. Step back. Face the audience. Face the audience.
I'm a problem. I'm a little bitty old problem. It may not be very big to many people, but I'm just a little bitty old problem. And what do problems do? Problems push against us, don't they? Just like the big problems do. Problems push us.
What's the difference? What's the difference? What? It's not how big the problem is, it's where the problem is. If it gets between you, it's a problem, even if it's a small, little bitty problem. A big problem. Now, I've got a problem. Woo! Thank you. Thank you. If you've got a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord Jesus, you can experience joy from the past, from the present, for the future because of your relationship with him. Would you bow your heads with me? With our heads bowed, I want to ask you a question. And I want you to express by a show of hands. Has God encouraged you this morning? Yes, yes. Well, put your hands down. Then why don't you tell him about it? Take a moment now or take a moment later to tell the Lord, thank you, Lord, for working in my life. Later in Philippians, he says, it's God who works in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God is working in your life. So tell him thank you about that. And let him produce the fruit, produce the joy that he wants to produce in your life because of your relationship with him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your message to us this morning. You have encouraged us. You've also challenged us. And for this, we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're looking for further counsel from the Word of God, or if you're looking for someone to pray with you this very morning, Someone will be down here. There's one of our staff members who will be in the hallway. Some of the elders will be back in the prayer room. And if you're looking for assistance with prayer or counsel, just seek somebody out. Somebody who knows the Lord. Someone who has a relationship with Him. They'll be glad to help you. God bless you.